Let's go into the word. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that there is clarity as the truth of God's word is taught. Truth of God's word is taught with clarity, with precision, with accuracy. There is no confusion. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word. We pray and declare this evening at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Turn with me quickly to 2 Timothy. Sorry about that. Turn with me quickly to 2 Timothy chapter. Let's look at chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. So 2 Timothy 3:15 says, "And that from a child thou art known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And that from a child thou art known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." So scriptures are to make us wise unto salvation. Now, scriptures here will mean the writings, really. And holy scriptures will mean the set apart, designated, sacred. Yeah, so holy means sacred. What is sacred? Set apart, distinct, unique. So, scriptures, these particular writings are unique unto a purpose. It says, "And from a child thou hast known the holy, the sacred writings, which are able to make thee wise," that is skillful concerning, "unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." So it means that everything about our salvation plan, or everything about God's salvation plan, or let me say it this way, everything about the salvation package we have received as saints can be properly explained in the holy writings. Yeah. Look at it again. It says scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It now says all scriptures are given by inspiration of God. So scriptures are inspired by God. God inspired that the scriptures are written. Yeah, but not everything written in the scriptures are inspired of God. Yeah, or let me say this way. Not everything written in scriptures is God talking. Yeah, so the word of God, which we call the Bible today, is only the word of God when it is rightly explained. Are we here? Yeah, I'll say that again. The word of God is called the word of God, which is the word of truth, only when the scriptures are rightly explained in light of the word, or in light of salvation, or in light of the intent of the authors, or in light of, you know, the great plan of salvation of God from time. I'll say that again. Yeah, salvation through faith is the theme of scriptures. So it's the word. So when you say the word of God, you, for instance, you will go through the writings of the prophet and Moses and see several disparities. For instance, we've looked at one example is 1 Samuel and Chronicles. Yeah. So 1 Samuel will tell you that the Lord God moved David in his anger to number the people. Chronicles will come years after and tell you the anger of Satan, or Satan. Altogether, yeah, two of them cannot be true. It cannot be God and Satan. So it's either one of them is true, or the other is true, or both of them are not true, really. Yeah. So, but you will now realize that one of them is a lie, which is the one that says God in anger moved David to number the people. Yeah. So is that true? No. But is the Bible the word of truth? Yes. So the Bible is the word. Okay. Hold your thoughts there. Go back to 2 Timothy 2. Look at chapter 2, verse 15. Look at chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy 2, 15. Paul says, he says, "Study to show thyself." Remember, you must have read 2 Timothy 2 before 2 Timothy 3. So, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You see that? Rightly dividing the logos of aletheia. So, the word, or the message, or the theme of the reality. So the word of truth will be called the word of truth when the word of truth is properly examined in the light of the man who is the truth. Okay, hold your hands in 2 Timothy and go to John. Go to John, John 14. Look at John chapter 14. Look at John 14 quickly. Look at John 14. John 14 verse 6. Bible says, "Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life." So I am the way, the reality, that's the word there, truth, yeah, and the life. So I am the way, the truth, I mean the life. I am the way, the reality, and the life. So it means that go by 2 Timothy 2:15 can say, rightly dividing the word of truth, rightly dividing the word of life. Did you get that? Yeah, rightly dividing the word of truth, rightly dividing the word of life, rightly dividing the word of way, right? Because the way is the truth, which is the life. So study to show thyself approved unto God, yeah, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing. So the word there, rightly dividing, means to carefully handle. So you have to carefully handle the writings of the scriptures to be able to arrive at the word of truth. Are we here? Have we gone home? I'm sure you're home, right? So he says, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yeah, rightly dividing implies to carefully handle. So it means that you have to carefully handle the writings of scriptures to arrive at the conclusion that will say or state the word of truth. Or to arrive at the conclusion, the word of truth. Did you get that? Look at 2 Timothy 3 again. 2 Timothy 3 verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation when you rightly divide the word of truth. See, it is only when you divide the rightly divide the word of truth that you get to a conclusion of salvation. Because in the Old Testament book writings, what you call the Old Testament books, yeah, you will see scriptures that talk about God's safety. You will see scriptures talk about God's destruction. Now, Paul is telling you that the theme of those scriptures is actually God's salvation, not God destroying. So, how do you know you've properly divided scriptures? How do you know you've rightly divided scriptures? When the end goal or your conclusion is that God's salvation plan has been that, the same thing from time. So it says all scriptures are given by inspiration of God and is profitable. The word they're profitable is the word they're advantageous. So it's the word advantageous for doctrine. The word they're doctrine is the word they're teaching. So scriptures are given by inspiration of God and they are advantageous for teaching. Yeah, teaching regarding what? Teaching concerning salvation. So it will mean that if scriptures are advantageous for teaching, it will be regarding what it should teach, which is the wisdom it ends up giving, which is salvation through faith in verse 15. So profitable for doctrine in reference to salvation. Yeah. So in teaching, what do we have? We have reproof. Yeah. The word there, reproof, deals with an assurance. Yeah. So we get evidence. We get solid evidence from the holy scriptures. Yeah, we get solid evidence by capitalizing on the advantage of doctrine, which is the advantage for teaching. You get that? Yeah. So for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. See, the end goal is to attain perfection as the man of God or as a man of God. So that the man of God may be perfect. That the man of God may be perfect. What is to be perfect? It means to come into the reality of God's word, really. Yeah. You know, I think we've explained that a couple of times, right? So that the man of God may be perfect, perfect in reference to what? That which scripture is meant to make the wise unto. Are we together? So a careful student or a diligent student will read Genesis to Malachi and not run away from Genesis to Malachi. You know, a few years ago, it was very easy for me to hide behind the shadow of they were under the law. No, that's under the law, but this is grace. Say grace. Grace. I'm a man of grace. I'm a man of grace. See, the real thing is that if I had spoken more than my power, I would have found myself in disgrace. See, the truth is that God's word is to be properly examined for us to arrive at the conclusion of salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Did you get that? Look at John. Look at John. Or look at Luke's gospel. Look at Luke. Look at Luke. Look, Luke, Luke, Luke 24. Look at Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 24. It says, and certain of them which went to the sepulchre found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then Jesus said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now, where will you find the writings of the prophets, or where will you write? Well, where will you find the utterances of the prophets? You will find them in the writings of the prophets and Moses, what you call the OT books. Yeah, what you call the Old Testament books. So, see what Jesus says in verse 26. It says, "Ought not Christ, to have suffered these things that ye see and to enter into his glory. So what did Jesus do to make people who were fools to become unfools, or to make them unfoolish? Yeah, to make them unfoolish, he expanded. Now, the word there, fools, is just a word used to talk about people who don't think deep. Are we together? Yeah, who don't think deep. You don't think deep. So then he said unto them, you are not thinking deep. Yeah, we see that in how your heart is slow to respond to that which it should respond to from the writings and the speakings or the utterances of the prophets. So, ought not Christ to have suffered these things that ye see and to enter into his glory? So, what did Jesus do? Beginning at Moses and the prophet, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What did Paul say? Holy scriptures are to make thee wise unto salvation. What is salvation? Salvation is that thing concerning Jesus. Yeah, so Jesus is the great savior that brings salvation and makes men saved. You get that? Yeah, so Jesus is the great savior that brings salvation, offers salvation to mankind, and a man who receives from that offering is saved. Are we together? Now, what did Paul say we should use to teach our salvation understanding, or we should teach our salvation belief with? He says what? The holy scriptures, the holy writings, the sacred writings. So it means that the sacred writings have a theme. The sacred writings pointed to a person. See verse 27. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The word they expounded is gotten from two Greek words, di emmanuel. Now, di emmanuel, die and emmanuel. Die and emmanuel speaks about across or through. Yeah, to explain across or to explain through. So he explained through scriptures his sufferings and his glory. His sufferings and his glory. Yeah, which is what we're going to pay attention to on Friday into Sunday. I mean, it's not like we don't pay attention to it in our various teachings. Yeah, but I want to explain these verses. So Jesus taught about his sufferings from the writings of Moses and the prophets. Did you get that? So it means that if you carefully read Genesis to Malachi, you will see prophecies about his sufferings. Praise God. Hallelujah. Look at John 1. Look at John 1, 45. Look at John chapter 1, verse 45. John chapter 1, verse 45. So what it says? It says, Philip finds Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. Who is that person? Jesus of Nazareth. So Moses in the law, in the writings, the prophet, they wrote about the person, Jesus of Nazareth. Paul says the same thing in Acts 26:22. Yet, having obtained help from God, I continue unto this day, saying no other thing, yet witnessing both to small and great, saying no other thing than those which Moses in the law and the prophets did say should come to pass, that Christ should suffer. Right? And rise from the dead on the third day. Did you get that? Are we here? Have you gone home? You're home, right? So, Christ is the essence of scriptures. Christ is the theme of scriptures. Christ is the summary of scriptures. Christ is the summary of the writings of prophets and Moses. So it means that when we carefully go back to Moses' writings, we will see Christ. What will it be about Christ that you will see? His sufferings and his entering into glory. Praise God. Hallelujah. See Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Genesis 1, 27. Look at Genesis 1, 27. Or let's see Genesis 1, verse 27. Yeah, okay, let's see 27, really. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. See what it says there. Carefully look at what it says there. He says, so God created man, right, in his image. Now, the word there, image, is the Hebrew word selem, right? It's a word that speaks about a physical representation of the unseen. Also a word that speaks about or associated or used as a corporate status or a what corporate agency, an agency. Did you get that? So God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So there are three personalities there. There is the him, there is the male, there is the female. So the him is a person, the male, the female are to be found in him. The epistles now brings clarity to us on that. Colossians 1, 14 to 15. Yeah, in him we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible. So the image of God is a person, Christ. Male and female are to be found in him. We see that. So Corinthians 4:3. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded their hearts, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, in who is the image. So Christ is the image of God. Hebrews 1:2-3. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1-3. Yeah, it says, God who at sundry times in diverse manners has spoken unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in this last days spoken unto us in his Son, who he hath appointed heir of all things, who is the brightness of his glory, right? The express image of his person. How together? So the express image of his person is the person Jesus Christ. John 1 now tells you, in the beginning was the image, in the beginning was the Word. Verse 14 now tells you, the Word was made flesh. How together? Now look at 2 Corinthians 5:17 quickly. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. So God's plan from time has been that male and female are found in the image. So it means that in Christ, we don't recognize believers based on their gender. Yet, so there is no different Holy Spirit that is assigned for the female gender. There is no unique Holy Spirit assigned for the male gender. No, 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 no. In Christ, what makes a man born again is what makes a woman born again. That is believing in the sacrifice that has been offered. Believing in the offering that has been offered. So, and God blessed them. Remember, no, okay, hold on. Genesis 1:26. Yeah, Genesis 1:26 or 27. God created man in his image. Now, male and female created he them. Now, and God blessed them and said unto them. So, the there will be the male and female created he them. So, what did he say to them? He says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion. Yeah, you see, those words there deal more with restorative words. Are we together? Yeah, it deals more with restorative words. So he says, subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, did God create the heavens and the earth? Yes. Did God create the first man and woman? Yes. Did God give them an instruction to multiply and be fruitful? Yes. What is Moses writing about? Moses is using the creation of creature, the creation of the creation, to speak about God's new creation. Are we together? So God's new creation is the theme of Moses' writing. Did you get that? So it means that male and female are to be found in him and they are to be fruitful. Yeah, be fruitful and multiply will not imply to be doing what? Will not imply to be giving birth to children. Yeah, but really to be bringing forth children into God's harvest, right? Into God's heritage, right? Into God's farmland, right? Remember, God is the chief agriculturist that plants the seed of himself in the hearts of men, yeah, which is the light of the glorious gospel. Did you get that? Yeah, which is the bread of life. Right? The water of the spirit, right? The wine, right? Did you get all of that? Yeah, last week Wednesday. So God blessed them and there was an instruction to multiply, to replenish the earth, to fill the earth. So Habakkuk will now tell you, for the earth shall be replenished. Yeah, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of his glory as the waters covers the sea. Praise God. Yeah, so 2 Corinthians 5. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Oh, gracious Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. So, he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, dear saints, when you are reading a letter or a writing, and you see therefore, you need to find out what therefore is therefore. Yeah, you need to be sure why is therefore. What is therefore, therefore? That's not too deep, right? So, therefore, you don't just stand up with a statement and just say, therefore. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. No, the therefore is there for a reason. I sound so motivational right now. So, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creature. He is a new creature. Remember, Moses in his writings has been speaking about God's new creation. Look at that. Moses said, God created the heavens and the earth. The heavens and the earth is Moses' way of speaking about the union between man and God. Yeah, the new creation, what you call the heavenly Jerusalem. Ma. So, therefore, if any man be in Christ, that means if any man be a partaker of God's new creation, which he created in the beginning from Moses' writings, right? He is a new creature. He says, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. They are become new. Are we together? So, when he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, is Christ the image of God? Yes. So, Christ is the image of God that male and female are to be found in. So, can we say, therefore, if any man be in the image of God? Did you see that? Yeah. Therefore, if any man be in the image of God. Now, that any man, yeah, would that be male and female that he created them? Yes. So, any man there will not be limited to the male species. Yeah, do you look at that? Yeah, so if any male or female be in the image of God, he is a new creature. Yeah, he's a new creature. He says, all things. Now, see what he says in verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Christ, and hath given unto us a ministry of reconciliation. Now, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the message of reconciliation. So, the message of the image of God is the message that the male and female found in the image of God should go and preach to bring fruitfulness and multiplicity. Okay, I'll say that again, okay? Yeah, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses. Yeah, now, okay, look at verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Hold on. In Genesis 1:27, God created man in his image. In his image created he him. Male and female created he them. Now, do you now see that male and female in Genesis 1:27 are the ambassadors of the image? They are the ambassadors for Christ. What you see in 2 Corinthians 5:20. So, now then, we are ambassadors of the image of God. We are now, how do we know we are ambassadors? Right from Genesis 1, Moses tells you, God says, be fruitful and replenish. How do you replenish? You replenish by doing the work of an ambassador. Yeah, so doing the work of an ambassador is the replenishing, the fruitfulness, the multiplicity spoken to those people that are in Christ. Did you see that? Did you see that? Okay, so go back to verse 17 again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, so we've explained that. Therefore, if any into bracket male and female into bracket close be in Christ into bracket the image of God, yeah. Did you get that? I'll say that again. Therefore, if any man into bracket male or female into bracket close be in Christ into bracket the image of God into bracket close, he is a new creature into bracket heaven and earth. Yeah, God's new creation. Are we together? Yeah. So behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God who hath reconciled you by himself. Yeah, and hath given unto us the ministry of fruitfulness and multiplicity and replenishing. What did I do? I brought in Genesis 1 into 2 Corinthians 5. Are we together? You see, why do you think we are paying attention to this thing? It is because we cannot understand ourselves without understanding where we are. We cannot understand ourselves without understanding who we are in. Yeah, we cannot understand ourselves without understanding the image. We cannot understand ourselves without understanding Christ. So, understanding Christ will influence our behavior. Let me try to say that better. Yeah, understanding our nature in Christ or what we have received in Christ will influence our behavior. It will influence our conduct. You see, as believers in Christ, our behaviors do not determine our nature. Yeah, we have received God's nature by believing in God's work in the resurrection. But your behavior should be influenced by your nature. That's why you see, as believers, there's such a thing as being conservative. Yeah, there's such a thing, you see, it's not everything in the world that everything the world does that we do. Why? Because we are to see ourselves as those in the image of God. Did you get that? Did you get that? We are to see ourselves as those in the image of God. We are to see ourselves as those in the image of God. So what those who are not in the image of God will do, we dare not do it. Now remember, not because we want to have God's nature, but because we have his nature. This changes the ball game. All together. Yeah. So that again. Yeah. It is not everything that a man who is not in the image of God does, when I mean man, male or female, that those of us in the image of God can do. Not because doing or not doing it will make us receive God's nature. No, we have received God's nature. You see, that's why there are some things some believers do, and it is evident that it's evident to know, or it is not difficult to know, that they are not paying as much attention to God's word of truth. They are not paying attention to God's word about his image. If you know that you are a man in the image of God, it will reflect in you understanding that you are an ambassador. Did you get that? Did you get that? See, God gives to us the assignment of fruitfulness, multiplicity. God gives the assignment to the believer of replenishing. That is, he has given us the assignment to be his ambassador. So if you're an ambassador of God, it will reflect in your conduct. If you're an ambassador of God, it will reflect in where you go, what you do, what you don't do. Because you will know that your actions and inactions are allowed in themselves. Didn't get that? You see, as a believer, you must understand yourself as one who is in Christ and a man who is in Christ that is on a mission. What is the mission? The mission is to shed light to the dark areas, to dark men. So you cannot be like them, look like them, and yet you want to shed light to them. Look at it, you see. You know who say things? God looks at the heart, man looks at the outside. Yeah, the reason why your outside should show like what is inside is because you are an ambassador. As an ambassador, it will reflect. Think about it this way. You are in Nigeria. Yeah, you are now an ambassador of Nigeria to the UK. Yeah, when you go to UK, your conduct will reflect where you are from. You didn't get that. Your conduct in UK, your dress sense, a lot of things, the way you carry yourself, the way you use a fork and knife, the way you eat pounded jam or eba, will reflect where you are from. Do you understand? See, let me say this way. If you go to UK and you start using chopsticks, right? If you start using chopsticks, will that change the fact that you are in Nigeria? No. You are in Nigeria that is an ambassador in the UK. So you are a Christian, a believer that is found in Christ, that is an ambassador on this earth. You didn't get that. You didn't get that. Yeah. So you are God's ambassador to darkness. You are God's ambassador. You are the one who God has given the assignment of multiplicity, fruitfulness, and replenishing. Yeah. I'm a man on a mission. I'm a man on a mission. God wants the whole earth saved. How will he do it? Through you and I, who he has given the assignment or the missionary assignment. How together? Altogether, so Christianity is a reality. It is something that will reflect in what we do, the choices we make, the jobs we take. Did you get that? Yeah, the places we go to, the clothes we wear, the pictures we like, the pictures we post, the pictures we repost. Did you get that? Why? Because you must see yourself first. So a Nigerian in UK who is an ambassador of Nigeria must see himself first from the kingdom he comes from. He is representing a kingdom in a new kingdom. So we are representing the heavenly on earth. Are we together? Are we together? So we act from that knowledge. We act from that understanding. So Christianity is not just a formal association. It's not just that which you write on the form and say religion. No, in Christ is our reality. In Christ is our start point. In Christ is our location. The image of God is our location. The image of God is our reality. So we act that way when we are found on earth, or as we are found on earth. Altogether, you know, like I said a few weeks ago, you know, Unfortunately, a lot of us rather want to pay attention to the sonship aspect of what we have received in the resurrection, and we neglect the servanthood. Yeah, we are the, I'm not a servant, but you see, the apostles call themselves servants. All together. Yeah, so we are sons who have been brought forth by the resurrection that are called to serve. We are called to serve. An ambassador is a serviceman, is a servant who represents Nigeria or a country in another. Did you get that? Yeah, so if any man be in Christ, it means that the saints should first understand that he is in Christ before in Nigeria. Yeah, you are in Christ before you are on earth. Why? Because you cannot exalt temporary life over eternal life. It is first eternal, that which is your possession, before what you call or what you see in the flesh. All together. So you are a man on mission. You are a man on a mission. You are, so people must not see you the way you are not to present yourself. Or people must see you as a man who understands his reality in Christ. Did you get that? Did you get that? So it means that our actions are loud in themselves. We must understand that the actions we take, the moves we make, yeah, they should be a reflection of our reality. They should be a reflection from our home country. What is the home country the believer comes from? It is the heavenly Jerusalem. What is the home country? It is the image of God. What is the home country? In Christ. In Christ. In Christ. So it means that as a believer, for you to say your how do I give an example right now? Yeah, for you to say let me not give you an example for now. Maybe I'll give you later. Yeah, so as a believer, you see or take examples first in the country you are from. Are we together? You see and take examples first from the country you are from. Do you get that? Yeah, you will see and take examples first from your nationality that is in Christ reality. Why? Because you are a man on a mission. You are an ambassador of God on earth. You are an ambassador of God on earth. So God counts on you. God counts on you. God counts on you. So think about it this way. You see, you don't have to bamboozled and told that, imagine Jesus was beside you. Will you do what you are doing? Imagine Jesus was beside you. Will you go to that place? Imagine Jesus was inside of you or was watching at you. Will you wear that coat away? No, you must acknowledge that Jesus is in you. You don't have to be bamboozled with what if Jesus is sitting in front of you. What if Jesus is looking at you? No, you must acknowledge that you are a Christian, that is one who houses Christ, a believer in the resurrection, and that will reflect in what you do. So for every time and every situation you find yourself, you are that man in Christ. You are never in your life ever going to be a man without Christ. Let me say this way. You are never ever going to be found outside of Christ. Are we together? So you're an ambassador. So the things the world will do, we don't succumb to it. Yeah, look at it. Paul will tell you, he says, do not be conformed. Look at Romans 12. Why 2 Corinthians 5, remember, right? Look at Romans 12. Look at Romans 12. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. I hope you're here. Yeah, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto you, which is your reasonable service. Now, what we are going to is verse 2. It says, be not conformed to this world. So it means that your daily activity might prompt in you an influence or surround you with influence to be conformed to this world. But it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing. What is your obligation in Romans 12:2? Be transformed. Be transformed. Be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. So you are a believer who has been transformed from darkness into light, and you are obligated to keep transforming. How do you do that? By renewing your mind. Are we together? So, you wake up one day, you watch this show, you watch that fashion show, you watch this, you watch that, you watch this, you watch that, you will see beautiful designs in your mind. But it says, do not be conformed. Do not think because a fellow person is doing that means it is something you can do. No, you are first an ambassador before any other thing on earth. You see, this message, I'm talking to people who know that they are ambassadors. Are we together? Are we together? I'm talking to people who know that they are ambassadors. So it means that as an ambassador, you are a representative of God on the earth. So that's what Paul was teaching in 1 Corinthians. That which we allow a fellow brother stumble, you stay away from it. Yeah, that which we allow a fellow sister stumble, you stay away from it. Why? Because you are an ambassador. You are to keep renewing your mind. You are to keep renewing your mind. You are to keep renewing your mind. Remember, it is still your choice. It is your choice to, look at it. It's your choice to be exposed to the world, and it is your choice to conform yourself to the world. It's also your choice to transform yourself by the renewing of your mind. Dear saint, choose wisely. Choose wisely. Choose wisely. So do not be conformed, but be transformed. Do not be conformed, but be transformed. Your renewal of your mind is not done. Yeah? The renewal of your mind is not done. It's not a finished work. It is not a work. It is not a finished work. But it is a reflection of the finished work. So it means that your attention needs to keep pointing back to that finished work. The resurrection. The indwelling of the Spirit. The fact that you are an ambassador sent into the earth to be fruitful, to multiply and replenish. How together? So there are some things people will say you will not say. Did you get that? There are some subjects they will comment about you will not comment. Not because it might be entirely wrong, but because you see yourself first as an ambassador. There are some places that you will want to go to. Yeah, maybe with some friends, but not necessarily. You will choose whether or not to go because of that which God has called you for. In fact, certain places where you go to, your conduct there will reflect a certain lifestyle. Your conduct will reflect something from your inside. The only way that can be reflected is what? By the renewing of mind. Go back to 2 Corinthians 5. How did I get there? 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, right? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, that is, if any man be in the image of God. Look at verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for what? The image of God. God's country. So, look at it again. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man... So, therefore, it can mean because of this. Remember, you don't start a sentence with because of this. Yeah, you don't just wake up and say, because of this, I'm going out. No. You don't say that, right? So, therefore, so it means that you have to backtrack. Look at verse 14. Look at it. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Why? You are an ambassador. Did you see that? Yeah? And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. You don't live for yourself. You don't live for yourself. You live for that image you are found in. You live for that country you come from. You live from that as one coming from a civilized, God-civilized country, God's people. Are we together? So he now says, wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Because of this, if any man be in Christ, hallelujah. So the context has been concerning the death of Christ, the resurrection, and identification with that fact. Altogether, how do we know? Look at it. Look at verse 15. That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. That's identification. But unto him which died for them and rose again. How is it together? So in Christ is a phrase that talks about our identification. In Christ is a phrase or a phrase that talks about our union with Christ. Our union with the image of God. So our union with the image of God must reflect to the physical eyes of others. All together. You see, your love work is not for God. All together. Let me say it again. Your love work is not for God. Your love work is to God, but for other men. That is very key to your Christian faith, dear saints. I'll say that again. Your love work is not to God. Your love work, right, let's start again. Your love work is not for God. Yeah, so your love work doesn't make God love you more. God, look at Romans 5. Look at Romans 5, 18. Romans 5, 8, sorry. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Look at Romans 5, 8. Romans 5, 8. Romans 5, 8. Look at it. But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. So our love work is not to make God love us. Our love work is not for God. Our love work is for fellow brethren, but to God. Look at 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16. Altogether, 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down. So you perceive the love of God in that he laid down his life for us. That is love. And we ought to lay. So the love of laying down of his life for us is so that we can see an example to follow. Yeah, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. For the brethren. It is for the brethren, not for God. Remember, it is to God for the brethren. Yeah, it is to God for the brethren. Yeah, faith without works will be to God for the brethren. Your works will exemplify that which your faith stands for. Yeah, look at 1 John 3 again. It says, but whoso hath this world's good, that is, you have material possession, and you see your brother have need, that means your brother Adelphos, both of you from the same womb, can have need. And you that you have, you shut up your bowels of compassion from him. How dwelleth the love of God in him? It means, how do you prove that you are exemplifying the love of God you've seen in the laying down of his life? So your love work is for man, but to God. Your believer's conduct is for man, or for man to see, but to God. So it means that a believer who lacks conduct can never be, or can never be found outside of God's love. Because God's love is irrespective of your conduct. Did you get that? But if you know you are doing it as a service to God, you understand that it is to God for the men, for brethren. That's what Hebrews now tells you. Follow peace with all men, without which no man shall see the Lord in you. Not without which no man shall see the Lord. No, we will see the Lord. We have seen him. We will see him because of his resurrection and because we believe in that. So you cannot say if you don't follow peace with men, you will not now see God. No. It is follow peace with men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord in you or through you or through your conduct. Did you get that? So your conduct is to God for man. Your conduct is not for God. You are not impressing God. The best of conduct is a filthy rag. Did you get that? Yeah, the best, look, let me bring it home. A man who doesn't believe the gospel, yet does things right according to men, is a filthy rat. That which he does is filthy before God. How do you get that? Because only God imputes his righteousness. Yeah, only God gives his standard of righteousness to man. Only God can make a man qualify for his righteousness. Are we together? Yeah, so your love work, your conduct is not to God. It's to God, not for God, but for men to see. All together. Go by 2 Corinthians 5. Oh, glory to God. 2 Corinthians 5. How did we get here this evening? Okay. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. Or verse 17. Therefore, because of this, remember, he told you in verse 15, we don't live unto ourselves. No, we don't. It's not, see, moment you do actions and do things because you want to make yourself happy, you are living unto yourself. Did you get that? The moment you do things just because you want to derive satisfaction, you are doing it unto yourself. You are not one who is acknowledging that we don't live unto ourselves. We live unto God. Why? We are in union. We are in identification with God. Praise God. Altogether. So, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That means you pay attention. That's the word there, behold. So, he says, if any man, that is any believer, or rather, any man includes male and female, So, in Christ, like I said, we'll speak about our union with the image, our identity. Are we together? So, he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. You know, some people think that it refers to what happens to you only upon salvation. Or it's a phrase for new converts. Oh, a new creation. What are you? Are you an old creation? We are new creation forever and ever. are all together. We are consistently going to remain new creations forever. Why? Because what keeps your creation is not your work, but what that which God does, which is perfect and eternal. Are all together. So all things are passed away. He now says, behold. The word there, behold, means look at, look upon, pay attention, pay deliberate attention. Yeah, what are you paying attention to? Not the old things, but the all things. All together. So you pay attention to the all things that have become new. So Paul doesn't just tell you what has passed or what you don't pay attention to. He told you what not to pay attention to, which has passed, and told you what to pay attention to. So he says all things have become new. He now explains these all things in verse 18. And all things are of God. So, the things that are new are in Christ. So, we understand these things by understanding the in Christ reality or understanding ourselves in Christ. All together. So, look at it again, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The word there new is the Greek word kainos. Yeah, K-A-I-N-O-S, kainos. Yeah, which is the same word used in Matthew 16 when he says, he shall speak with new tongues. Yeah, that word there, kainos, is a word that means never existed. So, a new creation will be kainos creation, which is a species that had never existed. So, all things are to be understood in context of all things in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. How together? So, look at what Paul says. He says in verse 18, he has reconciled us. That's part of the all things. He had given unto us a mission of reconciliation. That's part of the all things. He was in Christ reconciling the world unto yourself, not to put in trouble unto them. That is a part of the all things. He had committed unto us the message of reconciliation. That's part of the all things. So, all God has done in Christ are in past tense. He has done. But there is something we continue. That is the present continuous tense. What is that? He told you in verse 15, we live unto Christ, not unto ourselves. Are we together? So the work of God in Christ is fulfilled, is done. 2 Corinthians 1:20. It says, the promises of God are yes and amen. Yeah, the promises of God are yes and amen. It means done, fulfilled, accomplished, finished, fulfilled, done. Are we together? So it means that the believer will understand himself only to the degree of his understanding of in Christ. So look at it. You see, like I would teach, yeah, like I've said over and over, the Bible doesn't teach do's and don'ts. Let me carefully handle that or see that properly. Right? Not too many things will the Bible tell you not to do and not and to do. What I'm trying to tell you, let me be more deliberate. The Bible will not tell you the kind of clothes you should wear. Yeah? Bible will not tell you the kind of clothes you should wear to the beach. Bible will not tell you the kind of clothes you should wear to the spa. Yeah? Bible will not tell you the kind of clothes you should wear to the gym. Yeah? It's your choice. But in making your choice, you realize that you are one who is not to live for selfish desires. How are we together? We are to realize that we are not to live for our selfish desires, but we are to live as those who are in union and understand the union they are with or in with Christ, with the image of God, with the heavenly Jerusalem. Jerusalem. So the moment you start saying this, that, and it's not the thing in scriptures, you are going one other way. But what will regulate your conduct is your understanding of that which you have, or that we have rather, or are in Christ, in the image of God. So you don't see yourself as ordinary. You don't see yourself as ordinary. You don't see yourself as a commoner. You don't see yourself as, so it means that what commoners will do, you don't do. What commoners we do, you will not find yourself doing it. Why? Because you realize there's an association you are in. There's a conduct that is expected. There's an assignment. There's a mission that God has given you. You are God's missionary. So if you are God's missionary, you act like God's missionary. You fulfill God's assignment of the mission journey on his terms, not your terms. As one who is not of this world, but transforms his mind by the renewing of his mind. I want to get, look at Philemon 1:4. Philemon chapter 1, verse 4. Philemon chapter 1, verse 4. Hear what it says there. Look at what Paul says to Philemon. He says, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and towards all the saints. Look at that carefully, right? Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast to the Lord Jesus and towards all the saints. Do you understand what I was trying to say earlier on? Your love work is to God for the saints. So when Paul now says towards the Lord Jesus Christ, how is that sin? It's sin towards the love for the saints. Look at that again. Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast towards the Lord. So how do we know the love you have towards God? We see it in your relationship amongst men. Do you see that? Yeah. So hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and towards all saints, that the communication of thy faith, right, may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is where in you in Christ. Did you get that? So when it says every good thing, it means that is more than one thing. That means numerous. Yeah. So can we say that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of all good things which are in you in Christ Jesus? How together? So it will be many things. But the many things in Christ, it will be limited to the confines of the context. How together? Let's pay attention to that verse again. That the communication of thy faith, remember, I look at it, look at verse 4 again. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayer. So I thank God, in my thanking God, I make mention of you in my prayer. That means I pray for you. What spurs Paul to pray? Did you get that? What motivates Paul to pray? It is the hearing of Philemon's love and faith towards the Lord. How is it seen and known? It is known by the love towards the saints, towards man. So that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging. The word the acknowledging is the Greek word epignosis. Yeah, epignosis, I'll spell that for us. E-P-I-G-N-O-S-I-S, epignosis. Yeah, epignosis. What is epignosis? Epignosis is the Greek word that speaks about the precise, accurate, and comprehensive knowledge. I'll say that again. Epignosis is the word acknowledging, which speaks about precise, accurate. So you see, the prayer I always pray when we are for every teaching, right? Yeah, we declare that there is precision and there is accuracy as the truth of God's word is taught. Yeah, that precision, that accuracy is the comprehensive understanding, is the precise, accurate knowledge. So get together. So now we've explained acknowledging. So acknowledging is precise, accurate. Yeah, every speaks about all, right, in context. So, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the precise and accurate and comprehensive understanding of all things in you in Christ. All together. So, there is the acknowledging. So, to acknowledge will mean to appreciate that which is available. To have a precise, accurate knowledge that spurs an appreciation of that. So, you cannot say you acknowledge and appreciate with mere words and still, you know, and still sing songs that do not tally with that. Did you get that? Yeah, look at it. Okay. Paul says that you might have a precise, accurate understanding. Yeah, the song you are singing is, when you come to collect your people, remember me, O Lord. See, the believer can never be forgotten. Oh, glory to God. Every record God has concerning the believer is found in the diary of Christ. Let me say that again. Yeah, every record that God has for a believer, of a believer, he's found in the diary of Christ, that great book of life. That's a figure of speech. Yeah, that great book of life, that is a record that God has of you. So if God wants to say, let me bring out your record, yeah, and see how you've been doing. The truth is that what you will see is the record of the work of Christ. Are we together? So the believer can never be forgotten by God. God doesn't have amnesia. God doesn't have the spirit of forgetfulness, the one we usually have before we write exam in Nigeria. He doesn't have it. No, he doesn't. So when you come to collect, you can say, I acknowledge all that. See, I acknowledge will be reflected in the things you say and the things you do. I'm saying again, your acknowledgement will be reflected in the things and the way you communicate. We'll get there shortly. So you say, oh, I have precise knowledge. Oh, imagine after I teach on a Sunday, oh, there is precise, accurate knowledge in this atmosphere. Yeah, and the first song that I sing is, when you come to collect your people, oh, when the saints are marching in, oh, want to be in that number. A saint is singing about saints marching in. What a saint! What a saint you are. A saint is singing about saints marching in. So a saint is that man which is forever perpetually in God's book of remembrance. Praise God. Yeah, the saint is perpetually in God's remembrance book. Yeah, God will never ever say to the saint, I knew you not. No, never, never. Never. The saints can, so if saints are supposedly supposed to march into anywhere, you will go there. Are we together? Remember, your conduct, your communication of your faith is towards the saints, towards men. Is towards men, but to God. So to God for men. Are we together? Are we together? So you cannot say you acknowledge and appreciate. To appreciate and acknowledge will reflect in what you say, what you sing, what you say about yourself. How together? So it's either you have not acknowledged or you are not appreciating. Oh, glory to God. So we know your acknowledgement and your appreciation by the vocabulary we hear you use, by the things we see you do. Look at it. How did Paul know that Philemon had love and faith towards the Lord Jesus? He saw it by his conduct towards the saints. Are we together? Are we together? Now, let me give an example. Go to Acts. Go to Acts quickly. Look at Acts chapter... let me show you something quickly in Acts chapter... look at Acts chapter 9 quickly. Look at Acts chapter 9. Look at Acts chapter 9 verse 3. Acts chapter 9 verse 3. Look at what he says. He says, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Look at that. Okay, look at verse 4. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, he says, Saul, Saul, why persecuted thou me? Hello, dear saint. Hello, dear saint. Take it easy, okay? Yeah, Saul, Saul. So the name that the vision, the name that was called in the vision was Saul, not Paul. Yeah, Saul's name was not changed to Paul because he had light. No. When you encounter God, God will change your name. Oh God, no. The name you own and you possess to God is the name found in the image, is the name called in Christ. How together? So Paul's name was not changed from Saul. Paul is literally Saul in Hebrew language. So the Hebrew word Saul is the, you know, is the name Paul in a different language. How together? Yeah, it's like Yoruba. You say joy is English. Ayo is English. So it's like someone whose name was Joy. And he encountered this story of Saul. And he now says, I saw the light and my name changed from Joy to Ayo. It's the same thing, different language. Altogether. So, what did the voice say to Saul? He says, Saul, why persecuted thou me? Mind you, never a time on Saul's life did Saul and Jesus meet physically. Altogether. Let me ask you, let me take it further. There was not a time wherever that Paul and Jesus saw physically. Right? History shows they did not meet. Okay? Let's assume they met. Yet, there was not a time that Saul was flogging Jesus. How do you know it is Jesus? Look at verse 5. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. So Paul never found Jesus to flog him. Paul was not among them that flogged Jesus, at least from history. I went together. So I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. What does that mean? It means that the persecution that Saul was inflicting on the church was actually to Jesus, was actually to God. Who was feeling the pain? It was the church. It was men and male and female in the image. People on earth. Yeah. But who was he doing it to? He was doing it to Jesus. So I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. Are we together? altogether. So we see your, so how do you know a man who persecutes Jesus today? You see him in his persecution to the saints. You see him to the persecution to his body, to Jesus' body. How do you know a believer who has love of God? You see it in his conduct, and it reflects in his conduct and his action and his vocabulary towards the saints, amongst the saints. Did you get that? Yeah? So go back to 2 Corinthians, right? 2 Corinthians chapter, Philemon rather, but Philemon chapter 1, Philemon 1. So, hearing of thy love, what is hearing of thy love? It means I see your love towards the saints. So, I cease not to pray for you, making mention of you, that the communication of thy faith becomes effectual. The word here, communication, is the Hebrew, Greek word koinonia. Yeah? Koinonia. Yeah? And it's a word that just simply speaks about fellowship or sharing. All together, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Spirit, that is the koinonia of the Spirit. Yeah, the koinonia, the sharing, yeah, the giving of the Spirit, the sharing that forms a, or the supply that provides a sharing, or a supply that provides a fellowship. Did you get that? Yeah, so that the communication of thy faith, yeah, the sharing of thy faith may become effectual. So a believer's life is only as effective to the degree of his acknowledging. Did you see that? I hope you saw that. I'll say it again. It says that your communication may become effectual by acknowledging. So it means that your communication of your faith becomes effectual to the degree of your acknowledgement. Do you understand? So, to acknowledge is not just say I acknowledge. To acknowledge is to have a comprehensive understanding. You look at that. That's why a man can say, I acknowledge you as my Lord and Savior. Yet you will say, remember me, O Lord. What does that mean? You only acknowledge in words. You've not acknowledged in your understanding. So your level of understanding determines the level of effectualness or effectiveness in the fellowship or the participation of the faith or the sharing of your faith, so to say. I'm helping you three months once a day. Yeah? So, I thank my God, making mention of you in my prayer, having heard of your love to God, that is towards all the saints. When you love God, you love the saints. All together. When you love God, you love the saints. When you show believers' conduct among saints, for saints, it is for saints, but to God. Did you get that? So, that the communication of their faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing, which is where? In you in Christ. So, you must have a comprehensive understanding about that which is in you in Christ. Paul says, I cease not to pray for you. He says, I make mention of you always. I make mention of you always. So, even though I've seen your love towards the saints, I keep making mention of you, that your communication becomes more effectual. So that means there is so much importance attached to the things found, the things that are good which are in us in Christ. Hallelujah. Yeah, a believer's life is only as effective to the degree of that which he understands about the all things, about the every good thing that is in him in Christ. Hallelujah. So a believer is to have insight as to why he is a new creation. What does that imply? What does that call for? Paul tells you in 2 Corinthians, you are an ambassador. You have been called into a ministry with a message of what? Reconciliation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So I thank my God, making mention of you always. So you must acknowledge that he is in you. You must acknowledge he is in you. You must acknowledge he is in you. He is in you. There's an ability in you. There's a conduct that should emanate from you. So when you see yourself not emanating certain conduct that are supposed to be found in the image of God, it means you are not acknowledging. Where would that acknowledging be? Not in your confession, but really in your what? Understanding. In your what? In your understanding. 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 Are we together? Look at that one more time. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayer, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus, towards all saints. That the communication, what is the word communication then? Yeah, the sharing. Yeah, that the sharing of thy faith may become effectual. Yeah, may become effective, may become recognized, or may be seen. Are we here? Yeah, may be seen or may be appreciated. Yeah, so that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. How? By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you where in Christ. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Did you see that? Did you see that? Did you see that? Yeah, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are what? Refreshed by thee. So it means that the love of Philemon for God was seen evidently in his disposition towards the saints, towards men, towards others. How together? Look at it again. It says, for we have great joy. So because of this which is already established, I make mention of you always in my prayer. Yeah, I make mention of you always in my prayer, that the sharing of thy faith. Yeah, go back to 1 John. Look at 1 John again. Look at 1 John. Look at 1 John 1. Or 1 John 3 rather. Look at 1 John 3. 1 John 3, 16. Hereby perceive with the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. So, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, will be what? The bowels of the saints need to be refreshed by what? Our love towards them. All together. So, but whosoever has this word, that means Philemon had this word good, and he seeth his brothers who had needs, and he did not shut up his bowels of compassion. All together. So, in not shutting up his bowels of compassion, is expressing his love to God. In expressing his love to God, it is found in the expression of his love to man. Hallelujah. Dear saints, let's end in 2 Corinthians 5, 17. I'll close here, okay? 2 Corinthians 5, 17. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Right? All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are of God who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus. That means he has brought us into his family, into his kingdom. Right? Verse 18. It says, all things are of God who has reconciled us back to himself by Jesus. And has given unto us the message, that is the ministry rather, of reconciliation. He now says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. So God is Christ in the flesh with the assignment of reconciling the world unto himself. Not the people that trespassed unto them, and have committed unto us the message, the word of reconciliation. Now then, as ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. It says, we then as workers together with him. So God is the great reconciler who is at work in the believer. So it says, we then as workers together with him. Right? Beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Did you get that? Look at verse 3. Giving no offenses in anything, that the ministry be not... Now, did he say that you might lose the grace of God? No. He just says that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Giving no offenses in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. So, you see what? We do things so that the ministry that God has given unto us is not blamed. The Paul will tell Timothy that their prophecy may appear unto all men. 1 Timothy 4. Are we together? So it says, but in all things, see, look at verse 3 again, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things, approving ourselves as ministers of God, in much what? Patience. You see that? Affliction, necessities, distress, stripes, imprisonment, torments, labors, watchings, fasting, purenessness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report, good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. O ye Corinth, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Look at verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So it means that in your conduct, Yeah, it's not saying don't do business with unbelievers. No, it's not talking about don't stay in the same flat. Yeah, you know, this is my flat. Only unbelievers are there. I don't rent flat with unbelievers. No, I don't stay in the same compound. No. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. We found in conduct, acting like them, being influenced by them, which will actually mean you being conformed to this world. All together, for what fellowship had righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion had light with darkness? Are we together? He says, and what agreement, verse 16, had the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of living God, and God had said, I will dwell in them, walk in them, be their God, they shall be my what? People. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate. In your conduct, in your lifestyle, in your show of love, in your love walk, in your forgiveness. It's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way this evening. I hope you've learned something particular about today. Cheers.